Joining us now to talk more about the settlement and what it means for Wall Street and investors is John Coffey. He teaches securities law at Columbia University. Welcome, Professor Coffey.
My pleasure.
As we just heard in Jim Zaroli's report, in addition to the fines, Wall Street firms have agreed to make some changes in the way they do business. Is it possible to have an effective wall, or cocoon as they're calling it now, between the analysts who make recommendations to investors and the investment bankers?
I'm afraid I have to be skeptical about whether you're going to have real success on that score. They have increased the level of protection. They've made the cocoon more insular and more protective. But at the end of the day, the analyst always knows that his salary is being subsidized, probably to the extent of 50% or more, from the profits of underwriting. And thus, if you are not helpful and don't create value for the underwriters, they're going to want to pay less of a subsidy to your entire division.
Under the settlement, firms will have to make available and pay for research from independent analysts. Who are these independent analysts, and will they really be free from conflict?
Well, you're asking a very good question, because that's the one area where this settlement is not very specific. The idea is that about $450 million will go into an escrow fund, and somehow, by some process of independent selection, we will choose research boutiques that have no connection with the large underwriting firm, and that their analysts will provide these reports. I think that is a good idea, probably a better idea than the major alternatives, but there is still the risk that once you have a large contract from an underwriting firm with this independent boutique firm, that subsidy will itself create a conflict, that they'll become over time something of a satellite of the large underwriting firm, unless you have strict controls. I think this will only work if you have some restriction that says that no independent research boutique can get more than 10 or 20% of its income from any one firm.
What about these boutique firms? Can they handle all this new business that'll come their way?
Well, I think this is going to create a tremendous demand for new firms. Right now, we're seeing securities analysts at major firms resign from the Merrill Lynch's and the Morgan Stanley's and set up new firms, which curiously they're calling Independent Research Inc. and similar names like that. So if there's a market demand, we will find people moving into this void. The question is whether or not there'll be sufficient controls to keep them from becoming a different kind of satellite, someone who's become dependent by contract rather than dependent by employment.
So today's settlement does not address the wrongdoing of individuals at these firms. What are we likely to see there?
Well, there were a few comments from Mr. Spitzer, which he indicated that he believed Mr. Grubman would be barred for life and pay a settlement of something like $15 million. We don't know at all whether there'll be criminal prosecutions, and I don't think we're going to see too many people pursued in civil or criminal cases, largely because both the SEC and the New York State Attorney General are very resource-constrained. They have a target-rich environment out there of all kinds of companies and individuals who merit prosecution, and they only have the funds to go after relatively few of them.
And individual investors are a bit wary about the market. How far will this deal go in restoring their confidence in the financial system?
I think the legal controls are stronger. I think the norms are now recognized by the industry. But whether the individual investor will respond is an open question. First of all, the individual investor is only going to invest if he thinks the market has a positive outlook for the future, and that's uncertain. You know, after the 1929 crash, it probably took 20 to 25 years before the individual investor really came back to the market in strength. I wouldn't predict that here because they haven't left en masse, but I do think it'll be a while yet before we see individual investors believing in securities research again. It was a flawed product, and I think it's on the road to being cured, but I don't think the individual investor is yet confident about it.
Is this an historic moment?
I think it's a very important moment. I think it's a moment in which we've recognized that there was a fundamental abuse, that securities research and underwriting just don't go together. There's inherent conflict. And as of a few years ago, you could talk to some of the leading investment bankers who would tell you it wasn't a conflict, it was a synergy. And I think we've seen a reversal in that position.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
John Coffey teaches securities law at Columbia University.